Before tonight, there's a lot of people that watch on the internet. I want to give a shout out tonight to Barney and Olga. Barney is Rose's brother, and they live in Houston, and they get a house full of people to watch the webcast. And so I just thank God for that. I thank God for technology. And yeah, if you all want to stand up, wave at the camera. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. Hi, Barney, and hi, Olga. Hope you have a great night. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Tonight's message is three great words for the journey. And we'll cover the entire chapter tonight. So we won't read anything in advance. We'll just kind of go through the chapter as we get to the main points. But the issue is, in way of introduction, Moses and his people have miraculously crossed the Red Sea. It wasn't their doing. It was God's doing. Amen. Based on a promise. He promised them that he would take them to the promised land. And so here's the first obstacle, was the Red Sea. There was another obstacle in Pharaoh's army. And God saw both of them in the same place. God is a great God. We serve a wonderful God. And what we see here is we see Israel's deliverance from pictures, our salvation. They were released from slavery and from bondage, and they're going to a promised land that they've never seen before. We were slaves to sin and Satan, and now we're going to the promised land. We have a promise of heaven. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." I want to point out something real quick. That's past tense. Our old things are passed away. All things become new. We put on the new man, which is Christ. We're justified in Christ, in God's presence. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Have you thanked God for your salvation today? Okay? "But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." We are delivered by the blood of the Lamb. They were delivered by the last plague, which was the Passover, and the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, basically forming a cross, and the death angel passed, and when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. And that started a timetable that led to Calvary, that led to a program that led to Calvary, that the Jews should have realized. But we're delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody was delivered by the Old Testament saints, New Testament saints. This morning, David was talking about paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And they were still in the grave, but they were in a better place than hell, waiting for the redemption of the cross. You can't get to heaven without the blood of Jesus. Amen. Because when he ascended, he took his blood and put it on the mercy seat in heaven and gave us atonement for sins. But in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And they sung a new song," saying, you know, we need to start singing a different tune. We can't sing the world's tune, because we're bought with a price, we're not our own. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." God was calling a nation out of Egypt, out of bondage, to deliverance. God is calling us tonight out of bondage to deliverance. God is calling our country out of bondage to deliverance. Israel's deliverance pictures our salvation. But you know, like what we do today, we basically just live for the moment. We live for this problem, and we're not in it for the long run. The real issue is that now the Israelites have a difficult journey ahead. You know, they are in a multi-step process to get to the promised land, and they're just on step three. There's a lot of things that we will go through, that they will go through to get to the promised land. They're right there. And they have to do all this It's a long way. It's a long journey. And God has a special way. Just like he promised the disciples when they got in the boat, we're going to get to the other side. He promised that nation that they were going to get to the promised land. Because he promised it to Abraham. And then to Isaac. And then to Jacob. And folks, we have the promises of Christ also. And we need to understand that. The Christian life is also a long journey. It's also a long journey. There are many trials along the way. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." The key verse I want, the key word I want to point out here is pilgrims. This is not our home. We are not citizens of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are waiting for the redemption. We're waiting for the redemption of this. And there's going to be a lot of trials on the way. God prepares us for the journey. There's example after example of the Old Testament. But I think the greatest example of God preparing someone that was going through a tough time was the life of Elijah. You know, Elijah gets fed by the ravens when God shuts up the heavens for 3 years because of Ahab's sin. And then when the brook dries up, he goes to Zarephath, and a woman there with just a little, with one meal left, sustains them, all of them, Elijah and her son and her, for until rain came. And then we know that Elijah had the contest of the prophets with the 400 prophets of Baal. And God came down in a mighty way and demonstrated his power. And all the prophets of Baal were slain. And then Ahab's wife Jezebel found out about it. And she says, "I want to kill you, Elijah." And he's running for his life. There's a lot of people today running for their lives. There's a lot of people in the Middle East tonight running for their lives. They need to look up at God. This is an attention-getting step. But basically, it says in 1 Kings 19 that Elijah goes out one day's journey into the wilderness. And he goes to sleep. He wakes up. He finds a cruse of oil, and he finds some water and some bread there. And an angel comes down and says, "Eat." And then in verse 7, it says, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.'" God knows what journey you're on. God's been long-suffering with Israel. God knew after the Red Sea that there was going to be many trials along the way. He was going to have to give them the law. They were going to have to build the tabernacle. There's all these things that was going to go on. And so we need to understand that the Red Sea was just the first step in their deliverance. And now they go and they're on the other side. Pharaoh's army has been defeated in the Red Sea, and we get to our reading this morning or tonight. In Exodus 15, verses 1 through 21, I'm just going to read this because this is the song of Moses, and they all sang this. It says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel." Folks, we need to corporately claim the victories of God, the blessings of God. It's not something to be hold in secret. It's to encourage one another. So then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths are covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy, and in greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like thee, O Lord? You know, sometimes we forget the details. Sometimes we forget the magnitude of what God has done, where he's brought us from, and where he's going to take us. He says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hath led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength into thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling. Remember Rahab? They heard about this. Years later, they heard what happened at the Red Sea. Folks, the world understands God. Sometimes his own people don't, though. The men of Moab trembling shall take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By thy greatness of thine arm shall they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the angel and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And you know something? Praise is infectious. When people start praising, other people will start praising. When people start mourning, everybody starts mourning. It says, and Miriam, the prophetess of the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hands. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered thee, sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. You know, our praise and our faith should be infectious. It should cause others to do the same thing too. And here we see on the other side, on the eastern bank of the Red Sea, this praise song, this testimony song for what has just happened. So there's three things tonight that I want to look at. Three great words for the journey. The first one is to celebrate. We just read the celebration song of Moses about their deliverance at the Red Sea and the deliverance from the end. These delivered ones had many things to celebrate. You know, we are delivered too. We should celebrate every day. We should praise the Lord and forget not his benefits. In Psalm 107, verse 8, David repeats this four times. Four times in this psalm. He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, you want to change the world? Start praising God for what he's done in your life. You know, too many people today are unthankful. We take God for granted. We can't do that. We can't do that. They had many things to celebrate. They chose to count their blessings and celebrate. We sung, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what? God hath what? Done. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. They're no longer slaves. Their enemies had been destroyed. They were on their way to the promised land. Hadn't made it yet, but they know they had a promise, and God had given them that promise, and they were trusting in him. And it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will pray, show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. So there was a praise concert on the eastern bank of the Red Sea because they had a lot of things to celebrate. What do we have to celebrate? You know, first of all, we need to be celebrating that our sins have been forgiven. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Okay? They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Folks, every day we ought to praise what Christ did on the cross. This morning, we've been justified, and we have peace through God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God has promised to be with us all the way. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. You know, Paul praised him everywhere. We can't praise him anywhere. He praised him when things weren't going well. He praised him when things were going well. And I'm so glad that we do sing here. But you know something? We need a heart of thankfulness to God. Where he is, where we have been, and where he has taken us. That should cause us to live a different life. So the first thing we need to do is we need to celebrate. Now, the second one is we need to innovate. You know, after every mountaintop experience, there's a valley. Okay? And oh, how soon we forget the victory that has just been won when we get a little bit of adversity in our lives that has nothing in comparison to what we just went through. And then we just whine about it. The Israelites encountered their first serious problem on the journey in verses 22 and 23. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. See, you can't stay where God gave you the victory. You got to go on to the next one. And you got to go on to the next one until you get to where God wants you to be. There's too many people today staying put. We can't stay put. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. God had promised them that we're going to the Red Sea. Oftentimes we look at our problems and say, oh, it's lost, oh, it's lost, oh, it's lost. And we can't look at the long game. We can't look at what happens in eternity. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. And so the people ran out of water. However, God said, you'll never thirst. Christ told the woman at the well, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst. basically raised up in the temple and told the entire people in the temple that I am the bread of life. You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. And sometimes when we think we find deliverance, it may not be exactly what we thought it would be. And it could make us bitter too. So they found bitter water, and this bitter water made bitter people out of their experience. Because sometimes bitter experiences make bitter people. This morning I said that trials and troubles in our life either make us bitter or better. And that's a truism. It really is. And in verse 24, it says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, they didn't have the technology we have now. They didn't have what I got in survival training, those iodine tablets, those water purification tablets that could make you drink. Oh, doesn't work very well, but it works, okay? But they didn't have that stuff. They're out in the middle of the desert, and now they think they're going to die of thirst. And what we need to understand is that God knew that. God knew that. Because he's going to prove them. And so God had an innovative solution to the water problem. In verse 25 it says, and he cried to the Lord. Now, here's the first thing. To find the solution to your problem from God, you need to ask God. If you don't ask God, you're not going to show. And it's going to keep on getting thirstier and thirstier and thirstier until you say, you know, I really need to ask God. God's going to keep on cranking up the trouble until you get to the point where you have to cry out to God. Because if you don't cry out to God, there is no answer. There is no answer. So he cried to the Lord. He prayed. And then the next thing, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, here's the interesting thing. That tree was there. And the issue was is that they were just overlooking the tree, but it was there all the time. See, God's solution is right there all the time. And what we need to do is we need to get some guidance on it to find how God wants to use the things that are in our life to make us better, to satisfy our thirst. And showed him a tree, which when he had cast in the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he what? Proved them. You know, if the Christian life was all victory, where would your faith be? Faith comes in when you're up against a problem that you can't solve and is bigger than you and only God can do it. And then we find out how many of us, I can raise my hand, how many of us basically had a problem and the answer was right in front of us. We were just too blind to see it. Oftentimes that happens in our spiritual walk. I don't understand why all these things are going to happen to me. Well, did you look at yourself? You know, David said, search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. So there's some lessons for us. First lesson, we will encounter challenges where we will need God's innovation. Now, let's fast forward a couple of thousand years. Christ is in the area of Galilee. Large crowds are following him. They are hearing God's words of Christ's words of compassion and his love, and they're hearing his doctrine. And they're out of food. And in John chapter 6, verse 5 says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Moses had led the people out into the wilderness where there was no water, and they got to the water and it was bitter. And now they're about ready to string up Moses because they're there. And God's saying, Moses, okay, how are you going to solve this problem? Just like for Philip. But Philip looks around, and we know in verse 9, he says, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Think about in the wilderness when they're at this bitter water and it's surrounded by trees. And they're saying, okay, we can't drink this water, but there's all these trees there, but what's that good for us? The issue is we look at ourselves, we don't look to God. Because our innovation should always be rooted, or the way God works in our life should always be rooted in God's inspiration, which is the Word of God, and our obedience. And our obedience. In verse 6 of John chapter 6, when he asked Philip this question, he says, how are these people going to eat? And he said this to what? Prove him. Why were their water bitter at Marah? Was to prove them. Why did God do this? So they would have to have some faith. Why did Christ ask Philip, how are you going to feed all these people? And the answer that Philip should have made, I can't do it, but you can. Moses, how are we going to get drink for all these people? I can't do it, but you can, God. I don't know how. And how many times have we said, I just don't know how we see God work when we get out of this? So our innovation should always be rooted in God's inspiration and obedience. God's solutions to our problems will always involve a tree. It was a tree that made the water sweet. It was a tree that Christ was crucified on that gave us the power to do what he wants us to do. The issue is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Folks, we need to let God work in our lives and stop trying to solve everything on our own. We need to start having some faith, because if you have a little bit of faith, you can do great things. Mark chapter 10, verse 37. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Now let's put it into context. God can work any way he wants to work. We just need to let him work. And we need to be expecting the result and basically open our mind to what he wants us to do. It's not always the same way. It's not always the same way. You know, one time you speak to the rock. One time you hit the rock. But you still get water. You know, one time you get manna from heaven. You get quail. God knows this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. And you have no right to question the way that God does it. We need to celebrate God, and we need to let God innovate in our lives. And these are the lessons for us. We will encounter challenges. They are bigger than us. Our innovation should always, the things that we try to solve God's, the problems that we have, should always be in accordance with God's word. Not going to be outside of God's word. Not for this church. Other churches do it. I found some incredible things that other churches are doing. Other churches are doing yoga classes to draw people in. Yoga is new age. They called us and asked us if we would hold yoga classes here. And I said, absolutely not. There's people that have other programs. They say, yeah, sounds pretty good. No, it's not your thinking. It's God's thinking that will do this for us. It's God's way that parted the Red Sea. It's God's way that protected them from the Egyptian army. It's God's way that fed them in the wilderness. It was God's way that gave them the law at Mount Sinai. It was God's way that gave them water here. And oh, by the way, when they got to where they ran out of water again, there were no trees. Oh, no, what are we going to do? There are no trees. Let God work the way he wants to work. Every situation is different. But we need to learn the lessons, and we need to follow God. The last one is dedicate. What's the first one? Celebrate. Secondly, innovate. Let God innovate in our lives. And the third one is dedicate. Moses called the people to a new dedication here. And every time we go through a trial, it's an opportunity for us to grow in our faith. In verse 26, he says this. He says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. You know why God can't work in our life? First of all, we don't ask. And the second reason is because we don't listen. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and then will do that which is right in his sight. You know another reason God doesn't work in our life? Because it can't work that way. It's never been that way before. And really, that's a silly way of doing it. Well, go ask Gideon. Silly way of defeating the Midianites by taking 300 men with pitchers and breaking them and saying the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And will do what is right in sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Christianity is not a buffet. You don't take what you want. You take what God gives you, and we follow it. And keep us, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So here was a test. They're out in the wilderness, and they get bitter water, and there's trees all around. They said, what's the trees? Good are trees. And I'm glad that Moses listened to what God said, and he took the tree, and he made the water sweet. Christ sent his son to hang on a tree for us. And it sounds silly to a lot of people, but that was God's plan. And it's the power of the cross that allows us to live for him. It's the power of a cross that gives us a promised land. It's the power of the cross that will give us deliverance in the trials and the troubles that we're at. It's that power. Healing and blessings would follow their dedication after this. In verse 27, it says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water. I wonder why there were 12. That's just a coincidence. No. That was a message for each one of the tribes. And 70 palm trees. How many people came into Egypt? 70. They should have said, that's a cool one. No, when God does things, he does it so when we look at it, we go, wow. Wow. And 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters, and they rested. God's now going to give them rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Healing and blessing will always follow our obedience and our dedication if we just dedicate to God. We can't expect God's blessing apart from our full dedication. A couple of weeks we'll be in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, verse 7 says this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Because we'll accept God's commandment, we'll accept God's direction, we'll follow God's rules, and we'll see what God will do in us. Oh, folks, tonight, we need to follow God on our spiritual journey. And tonight, where are you on your spiritual journey? It's a long one. It's a long one. It starts with salvation. It ends with heaven. And all the time that we have down here is the journey. And we're going to have trials on the way. Do we celebrate all the things that God has done? Are we willing to let God work in our lives and be humble in front of him? Are we willing to dedicate our lives so we can do what he wants us to do, so he can bless us the way he wants to bless us? So we can celebrate and see him work some more and then dedicate some more so we can celebrate and see him work some more and have the cycle. And we're changed from glory to glory to his image. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask, be with this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to follow you. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation, that we realize that you died on the cross for their sins. You're buried, you rose again the third day, that you were buried to, you died for their sins because that's the wages of sin. And you rose again to show that you have power over death and power over sin and power to forgive sins and give eternal life. Lord, help us to follow you and help us, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.